The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at coopradio.org. Jenny Kwan is the sitting MP for Vancouver East with the New Democratic Party. She's been representing Vancouver East in the House of Commons since 2015. Between 1996 and 2015, she was an MLA for the riding of Vancouver-Mount Pleasant, also with the NDP. Hello, Jenny Kwan, and welcome to Co-op Radio.
Thanks for having me.
The way I've been following all these interviews with the various candidates has been pretty straightforward and consistent, so I'll just start with the same question I've asked everyone else. Please introduce yourself to us and tell us a little bit about the NDP platform this election.
Okay, well, yes, my name is Jenny Kwan. I'm seeking re-election in this upcoming federal election on September 20th for Vancouver East. I really come from a humble beginning, if you will, immigrated here to Canada with my family, and as a young immigrant, didn't speak very much English at all. And like so many families, we struggled, looking for housing, my parents looking for employment. I remember as a kid, I moved from basement suite to basement suite. And so ultimately, my parents, my mom actually retired on minimum wages, and as did my dad. And so the struggles of newcomers, if you will, is something I have walked and lived through in my life. I began really my work in the community as a community legal advocate in the downtown east side. Through that process, my job was really to make sure that the voices of the community are heard, and most importantly, that their rights are protected. So I fought for them each and every day on the issues and challenges that they faced. In 1993, the federal Liberal government canceled the National Affordable Housing Program. And I remember I was so upset about it. We did petitions, we protested, we did rallies, we did sit-ins, we did all sorts of stuff. But still, the program was eliminated. And as we now know, as a result of that, Canada lost more than 500,000 units of affordable housing and co-op housing that would otherwise have been built. And so we have a crisis on our hands. For me, right now, what we're faced with, Canada is faced with a number of crises. We have the pandemic, we have the housing crisis, the overdose crisis, and a climate emergency. And deeply embedded in all these issues is, of course, Canada's colonial history. So from the NDP's perspective, we take these issues very seriously. We feel very strongly that we must restore balance into the inequities in our society. We need to address some of this issue through the taxation system. We need to take a human rights approach to the housing crisis, to declare a national health emergency on the overdose crisis, and take on the climate emergency like we want to win it. We must implement the UN Declaration for the Rights of Indigenous Peoples going forward. And so when we talk about inequities, one of the big things is that we need to make sure that the system is not just rigged to benefit the ultra-rich. And successive governments, the Liberals and the Conservatives, they have done nothing about it. And we've seen from the pandemic that the people hardest hit are the most vulnerable and low-income workers. Those from the service sectors, for example, migrant workers, women, young people, people from the visible minority communities, and we've been so hard hit. So it's time for us to take some strong measures. So the NDP is wanting to bring in a pandemic profiteering tax for the ultra-rich, who profited some $78 billion during the pandemic. We want to bring in a wealth tax so that we can ensure those who can afford to pay a little bit more. We need to shut down all the holes and gaps where the ultra-rich can avoid paying their fair share of taxes. We want to stop the subsidies for the fossil fuel industry, who, by the way, last year, the Liberals gave them some $180 $18 billion in subsidies. We need to redirect those funds to low carbon initiatives, for example. We want to make sure that access to healthcare includes pharma care and dental care. That's something that the NDP has fought for a very long time. In the House of Commons, we actually moved a motion to bring in a wealth tax, a profiteering tax, to expand income security programs to ensure every individual have access to a guaranteed livable income, to expand healthcare by putting in place a national pharma care and dental care program, and to meaningfully implement the right to housing, and to immediately fund a for Indigenous by Indigenous urban, rural, and northern housing strategy. Unfortunately, both the Liberals and the Conservatives voted against it. These are the kinds of things that we want to push forward with the NDP and in our platform. There are many, many elements, of course. And just to touch on, for example, on the climate crisis, you know, we really have to take on the climate crisis like we want to win it. We cannot keep on missing targets under the Liberals and the Conservatives. We have not met one single Paris Agreement target. And to get to net zero by 2050, which is what the experts tell us we must do, we have to set out aggressive interim measures. So the NDP is pushing forward, getting to a 50% reduction from 2005 levels by 2030. We can't trust government anymore, truth be told, and we have to put an independent office in place, an accountability office, to make sure that we are going to reach these targets and to report that out publicly to the community. The Indigenous community, as we know, the First Peoples, they have taken care of Mother Earth for thousands of years. And for us with the NDP, it's not just about consultation anymore. It's about decision-making. And Indigenous peoples need to be at the decision-making table about the climate emergency and climate action. We have to take to heart the UN Declaration for the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, and that is their inherent rights, to recognize their right for self-determination, and to put all of that into action and not just in words, as we have seen. We need to stop taking Indigenous children to court, as the Liberals continue to do so. On the water advisory, how could it be that in a pandemic that we have a situation where Indigenous peoples don't have access to clean drinking water in some areas? That is just simply unacceptable. So no more talk. We need action, and we need to get on with it. So these are just some of the elements of what we've got in our platform. There's, of course, much more that I haven't touched on today, but they will just give you a glimpse of the direction of where we want to go.
Well, of course, the focus of our show is really very, very, very local. So I'd like to concentrate a little bit more on just on the east side and particularly the downtown east side. So mentioning about the housing strategy, housing is very precarious for everyone in Vancouver and particularly those in the downtown east side. Can you give us perhaps a bit more detail about how to address the housing crisis in the city and in East Vancouver?
Well, we need to get back to the business of building affordable housing and real affordable housing, not what the Liberals or the Conservatives have in their approach of what's affordable. According to the Liberals, what's affordable is somewhere between 20 to 130% above market rent, and that is just not affordable. So for us, it's about building social housing, it's building co-op housing, is ensuring that supportive housing is also provided for our community and for people in need. So to start, we need to get 500,000 units of affordable housing built, across the country. The situation is such that since 1993, we lost more than 500,000 units of affordable housing as a result of the Liberals' cancellation of the National Affordable Housing Program. So a good place to start is to start with bringing back at least 500,000 units of real affordable housing in our community. For the Downtown East Side, first off, too, we must, of course, recognize the incredible work of the many NGOs who are doing this work in our community. The struggles in our community has been there for a long time, but successive governments have refused to acknowledge our need. Look what's going on with the Liberals' so-called national affordable housing program. For BC, we actually got, I discovered that we only got 0.5% of the total funding under the Liberals' national housing program or housing strategy. And to me, that is just absolutely astounding for us to only get 0.5% of that funding. After that explosive revelation, pressure was put on the government, and we've now been able to escalate that amount up to 8.7%. Is not where I want it to be. We need to at least reach 11% of our overall funding to get that housing built in the Downtown East Side, in Vancouver, all throughout British Columbia. And we need to get it to at least 11% to be reflective of our population. The NDP has been supporting community advocacy groups such as Recovery for All in their call for action on the housing arena. We need to also stop the predatory sales of housing that's driving the cost of housing up, and that impacts also rental housing as well. When you have predatory practices coming in, they will buy up and sweep up our housing stock. And when they do that, what they're doing is really pushing forward rental evictions and the like, and forcing people out of the housing that they're in, and so escalating our housing crisis. So the NDP has pushed for the government to come in with funding for NGOs to purchase distressed properties so that we can secure that housing stock. Finally, I would say this, we need to maintain the housing stock as well. Under the Liberals, we actually lost 183,000 units of social housing in this last 6 years of their term in government. And that's because they hadn't provided the subsidies that are required by renewing the operating agreements for the social housing and co-op housing projects. So we need to make sure that we maintain our stock and add to our stock in that regard. That's absolutely critical. And for those who need help, who may be in the private market sector, we can also provide support to them by providing a rent subsidy to them. And in our platform, we've outlined a subsidy of up to $5,000 a year for those in need to help with their rent. And in terms of building the housing and adding the stock, we need to make sure that the federal government also provide our own land as well, and utilize federal land as part of the resource to getting this housing built. Basically, we have to use all of our tools to get the job done. Canada used to have a fantastic national affordable housing initiative until 1993. And we built all the social housing, all the co-op housing in our communities. And that was all lost as a result of the cancellation back in 1993. So we need to get back to the table. CMHC, who delivers these programs, need to really be, they need to rebuild, to be honest, in order to deliver the programs that are so critical and needed in the community. But of course, it's not just CMHC. We need to work with the nonprofits as well, who have tremendous expertise in this area. For us in the Downtown East Side too, the vast, a disproportionate number of people who are homeless in our community right now also identify as Indigenous. And in fact, Indigenous peoples are 11 times more likely to use a shelter. So that's why it is so critical. And I've been advocating for Indigenous, by Indigenous, urban, rural, and northern housing strategy. And for the NDP, we will actually deliver that and co-develop this strategy strategy with Indigenous leadership in the first 100 days of our mandate.
What would such a strategy look like?
Well, for Indigenous by Indigenous housing strategy, we need to make sure that it is developed, co-developed with Indigenous communities and also that they be funded. Part of the problem, of course, is that, you know, the Liberals have promised this, by the way, you know, as far back as 2018. And then it wasn't in their budget for 2019. It wasn't in the fall economic update in 2020. It wasn't even in the 2021 budget. So you need to actually fund this and for it to be done. And we need to get the housing built. The Indigenous leadership have a lot of experience and expertise in this area. You know, Luma Native Housing, for example, have done this work for years, not just in Vancouver East, but across the province. And they have a tremendous set of ideas of how it should be done. And a lot of it too centers around them owning the site and owning the land. And so really we need to take the lead of the leadership from the Indigenous community, the housing providers who've done this work and support their effort. And therefore, it is absolutely critical that we have a for Indigenous, by Indigenous, urban, rural, and northern housing strategy. And for us in Vancouver East as well, I should mention, we're the third largest urban Indigenous community in the country. We need to have a specific housing strategy targeting the urban Indigenous community, not one that's mixed up with everything else and with everyone else, but one that's very specific, targeted for the Indigenous community, developed by the Indigenous community.
Another one of the issues, of course, has been the absolutely devastating effects of the opioid crisis throughout the whole country, but especially BC and in particular in Vancouver and the east side, the downtown east side in particular. And of course, wrapped up in all of that are issues surrounding decriminalization, the role of the police, trauma, healing. What are your thoughts on the opioid crisis and how we can perhaps finally get past it?
Yeah, there's no question that we're faced with not just a pandemic, but a national health emergency with respect to the overdose crisis. The NDP, we have been demanding and calling for a declaration of a national health emergency on this front. If the federal government declare a national health emergency, what they would be required to do is to provide the resources to every community, the downtown east side, and as well as every other community who's faced with the overdose crisis. And the truth of the matter is, it is across the country. And so that's the first thing that we want to see done. The other thing, of course, is that the poison in the drug supply is killing people. And we have known this for a very long time, and that is that these are preventable deaths. And so we need to stop taking a criminal justice approach to the overdose issue, to the addiction issue. We need to actually take it as a health approach. The NDP has called for and committed to decriminalization. We have called for safe supply. It's absolutely essential that we have safe supply in a large scale all throughout the country, most definitely in the downtown east side, but all throughout the country, I would say that as well. We need to provide supports to be in place. And you know, we're just talking about housing. You know, we can't really expect for people to tackle these issues without a safe home, without a place where they can feel safe in a place called home. And so that goes hand in glove with part of this strategy as well. We can learn a lot from the Portugal model and how well they have done in addressing this issue. And so so we need to move beyond where we're at with the overdose crisis. I would also say, and then we've seen it actually, the mural is down now, but previously there's a beautiful mural in the downtown east side that basically says culture saves lives. And so, you know, we need to engage in practices as well that recognizes people's history and their connectedness to the history and to rebuild that history as well. So there are many components to it, but first and foremost, we need to get on with decriminalizing. We need to get on with ensuring that we provide safe supply to people with the addiction challenges, and we need to take it as a health issue and stop criminalizing people.
Your mention of culture and educating people, of course, brings to mind issues surrounding childcare and education. Where do you and the NDP stand on that?
Well, the NDP has called for and supported the $10 a day childcare, a universal childcare program, for as long as I could remember. I mean, literally, you know, generations of children have grown up without access to quality, affordable childcare. And so that's something that we absolutely support. I know the Liberals say, oh, that's what we promised. Yes, it's true. They've promised it for decades and decades and still haven't delivered it. I mean, you know, they say that, well, but we're delivering it now. Then why did Mr. Trudeau call the election? If he hadn't called the election, we will be moving forward with a national child care program. But instead, is now yet another part of their campaign promise. And based on the history, time and again, they have failed to deliver. You know, I've talked to parents about childcare and their need for quality, affordable childcare. Parents have told me some of them have held off having children, you know, because they can't afford childcare. And the impact for childcare is not just for the family, but it's for our economy as well. We know that women disproportionately are the ones who end up having the responsibility for childcare. And often they're not able to enter into the workforce as a result of that. And that is just not right. And that needs to be addressed. And women is a significant component of our economy, and they need to be supported in every way, including the provision of affordable quality childcare. People cannot go to work and feel okay about it if their children are not well taken care of. I would also say this, in terms of the childcare sector, we have to recognize the important role of childcare workers. You know, they've been underpaid, you know, and not recognized for the value that they bring to our society at large. And that too is another piece. In terms of spaces, we also need to make sure that spaces are added so that people can have access to childcare. I've talked to parents who tell me, you know, the minute they realize that they are pregnant, they've put their name on wait lists, right? And the children, some of them have outgrown childcare years and they still haven't gotten a call back because no space is available. So all of these things needs to be part of a comprehensive approach in delivering childcare. And it is seen and needs to be seen as not just supporting families, not just important for early childhood development, for the development of the child, but it also needs to be seen to be a significant piece to our economy as well.
One of the other candidates I spoke to this week, also running in East Vancouver, said, frankly, in criticizing you in particular, that you know, no one over the past 25 years in the downtown East Side would say that things have gotten any better. I can appreciate being an opposition party all along. You know, there's only so much that can be done. But, you know, how do you respond? What are your thoughts to a criticism like that?
Yeah, I suspect that is the Liberal candidate who's made that criticism. First off, I would ask him to look who's been in government. Is Liberals and Conservatives in government, the Liberals for the last 6 years? How is it possible that BC, when we know that we have a housing crisis, that we had the largest tent city in the country, that we only had 0.5% of the funding from the federal government to develop housing? How is that even possible? Had I not been there to expose that deplorable action from the federal Liberal government, would we now have 8.7% of the funding? I suspect not. I know that some would argue, oh, but it's so much better. The Liberals argue so much better to have someone to be in government, to be on the inside. Look at what's happened to Jody Wilson-Raybould. Look at what happened to Dr. Jane Philpott. When they spoke out against the Mr. Trudeau, against the government, they got kicked out of caucus. They got kicked out of cabinet, right? And so, you know, for us in the Downtown East Side, we're fighters for the Downtown East Side. And who are the people in the House of Commons pushing for a national health emergency to address the overdose crisis? Who's been up there talking about and questioning the Minister of Health, the Prime Minister, pushing them on action in this regard to make sure that they bring forward real initiatives to address the crisis? Not Liberal members, me, the NDP. We have been out there pushing this. My colleague, Don Davies, has been pushing this. Our leader, Jagmeet Singh, has been pushing this. Who's been calling for decriminalization in the House of Commons? Oh, it will be the NDP calling for that, not the Liberals. So, you know, it's easy to criticize others who are going after the government. Perhaps maybe the approach is to say, hey, you know what? If we can silence the opposition, then we can get more done. I doubt it. Given the history of what the Liberals have shown and their pattern, they say all the right words. But my goodness, do they ever not deliver? We don't have to look far to see how they have failed our communities over and over and over again. Instead of campaigning on promises, that should have been their record. We should, instead of me talking about how we're still pushing for decriminalization, we should have it enacted. Instead of saying that we need to push for a national health emergency on the overdose crisis, we should actually have that enacted right now. Instead of saying that we need to push for a for Indigenous, by Indigenous housing strategy for urban and rural and northern communities, that should be a record of the Liberal government. And they failed. So more of the same of the Liberal government is not going to deliver. What we need are strong voices to push for something different, to get action done. And I'm committed to that. As people know, I'm never shy of speaking up, and I'm never shy of speaking out. And what I have done over the years is to amplify the voices of the community, to demand change, and hold the government to account and to call them out at every single step. Hopefully in this election, we won't be just looking at, alternative liberal conservative options. I hope that people will believe that better is possible. We can have a change in government and to drive that change in government for someone that will deliver on these promises and on the needs and meeting the needs of the community. A party who will put forward the community's needs first, who will fight for the community and not just be on the side of the ultra rich.
Well, sadly, our time is up, Jenny Kwan, but I do want to thank you very much for taking a bit of time here to speak with us on Co-op Radio.
Thanks for having me.
That was Jenny Kwan, sitting MP for the riding of Vancouver East. The federal election takes place on Monday, September 20th, and polls will be open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.